Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to this episode of The Canby Current. I am your host, James Walton. Let's read the news. With the lights slowly coming back on in and around Canby, thousands of area residents are in the process of digging their way out of the most destructive ice storm to hit the region in the last 40 years. The juice started flowing again Sunday night, with many neighborhoods coming back online around 8 p.m. later. A number of restaurants and other local businesses reopened Monday with limited services and seating. The historic ice storm that began on Thursday caused extraordinary damage across the state, with at least 8,500 PGE power lines brought down by ice and tree limbs, and multiple transmission lines severely damaged. Canby Utility began experiencing power interruptions at its two substations early Thursday as the winter storm arrived. Both stations lost power completely Friday afternoon, Canby Utility reported, and remained dark until Sunday. The utility's drinking water system was also damaged in the storm, and crews worked through the nights and weekends to restore service. Highway 99E was completely closed at the Logging Road Trail overpass due to lines down. As of Wednesday, at least 130,000 PGE customers remained in the dark, including 58,000, mostly rural residents of Clackamas County. Also on Wednesday, the company promised that at least 90% of those still without power would be back online by Friday. PGE has mobilized its largest ever workforce to address the historic storm, with more than 3,000 employees working to restore power, including mutual assistance line workers being drawn in as far away as from Montana and Nevada. The company has restored power to more than 489,000 customers since the start of the storm, but has struggled to gain ground as foul weather Sunday and Monday night brought down new limbs and turned out the lights once again. Unfortunately, as we repair one area, another area is impacted, and more repairs have to happen, PGE said in an update Wednesday. We appreciate this is frustrating and are working as fast as we can while keeping safety for all as our priority. Numerous large limbs piled up in Waite Park downtown, fortunately causing little apparent damage to the beloved gazebo, restrooms, or playgrounds. Crews were at work to cut down the widowmakers and begin the cleanup efforts on Wednesday. The City of Canby and Canby Fire has set up two drop sites for the debris at Maple Street Park near the new splash pad and the parking lot between the Ackerman Center, that's located at 3350 Southeast 13th Avenue, and the Canby Adult Center. The city is also looking for a curbside option. Until then, residents who have the ability to visit this drop site or bring debris on behalf of their neighbors are asked to please do so. For the latest, follow the Canby Current on Facebook and Twitter or visit our website, canbyfirst.com. At least four adults and a dog have died in three separate carbon monoxide poisoning cases, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office confirmed Wednesday, while a dozen others have been sickened or survived close calls in other incidents. Limited information is currently available, the sheriff's office said, as the county medical examiner is still investigating and families have asked for privacy in some of the cases. However, police did confirm that three fatal incidents that occurred between February 13th and 15th, all involving adults who died of suspected carbon monoxide poisoning in Clackamas County. The first involved a single adult whom police believed ignited charcoal briquettes in a small enclosed area, apparently in an attempt to stay warm. The individual died of carbon monoxide poisoning on Saturday, February 13th. On Valentine's Day night, a man was alone with his dog in his recreational vehicle without electricity when the propane heating source evidently malfunctioned. Police said the RV with the battery-powered carbon monoxide detector, which alerted a neighbor to the man's dire situation. The neighbor found the man unconscious. He was transported to an area hospital and ultimately died from suspected to be carbon monoxide poisoning. The subject's dog was also found dead. Finally, in a similar case on President's Day, two adults who lost power to their home were in their RV using propane heating source that appeared to not be functioning properly. Both adults died from carbon monoxide poisoning. On Saturday, February 13th, a family of six brought a charcoal barbecue inside their home to use as a heat source. Emergency crews responded and treated two family members on scene for carbon monoxide poisoning and transported the other four family members to the hospital for treatment. And on Tuesday, February 16th, a total of six adults in a Gladstone home were using a gas generator for power located inside a shed attached to the home. One resident woke up in the morning smelling fumes and emergency crews were summoned. Four adults were able to make it out of the residence, some with assistance from responding officers. Firefighters donned self-contained breathing apparatus and entered the house, pulling out two additional adults who were unconscious. Emergency crews began CPR and transported four to the hospital. The other two adults were treated on the scene. A similar close call happened in Canby with an unconscious woman being rescued from her home by Canby Fire District personnel. The sheriff's office reminds the public to never use alternate heating sources indoors that can produce carbon monoxide. This includes barbecues, camp stoves, or cooktops, inside homes, trailers, and other enclosed spaces. Do not use generators inside your home. At least one other county resident died during the worst winter storm to hit the area in at least 40 years, the county's emergency management department reported, which was apparently the result of an oxygen issue related to the widespread power outages. The historic ice storm that pummeled the Canby area this weekend also dealt a crippling blow to one of the area's last remaining one-room schoolhouses, located on the former Mark Prairie homestead on South Mark Road near Canby. On the night of Lincoln's birthday, February 12th, two large oak trees toppled over on the 120-year-old structure, causing massive damage. "We've had some of the worst-looking damage I've seen anywhere in the county so far," said the Mark Prairie Historical Society president and family descendant, Judy Oss. "The tree fell on the back part of the schoolhouse and caved in the roof. We have oak tree limbs and oak trees down everywhere." The trees fell on the back part of the property, a section of the building that is slightly newer than the original one-room schoolhouse. Originally used as a woodshed, it was eventually attached and turned into a kitchen. Oss said a tree service is scheduled to come out this week to begin the removal process. Fortunately, the schoolhouse was insured and the Historical Society is already working with their representative. "We've got a good team and we're dividing up responsibilities," Oss said. "The community is being so helpful and I'm just so grateful for that. We are so blessed in so many ways." Cleanup had begun at the historic schoolhouse as of Tuesday. Fortuitously, the Mark Prairie Historical Society had already had a general tree service firm scheduled to come to the property this week to do some trimming work. An antique piano located in the schoolhouse was salvaged by the tree crew, having been missed by the oaks by less than a foot, but it did receive some water damage. A 40-foot, 70-year-old canvas banner featuring a number of historical local businesses was also recovered and will be taken by Cutsforth Market owner Frank Cutsforth along with some books and plaques. Built in approximately 1900, the Mark Prairie Schoolhouse was part of the Unified Canby School District until 1946 when it was closed to students. However, it continued to serve the community, hosting family reunions, wedding receptions, parties, picnics, church groups, 4-H, and other clubs. It has also been a cultural center for the remaining Mark family descendants, and for nearly 100 years has been the site of an annual family reunion and potluck each summer. Well, they say that light shines brightest in the darkness, and that was certainly true for many in Canby over the past few days as a devastating ice storm knocked out power to the entire city, as well as an estimated 100,000 residents in the surrounding Clackamas County area. Yet, in midst of this literally darkest hour, stories of kindness, courage, and resilience have abounded. We've been visiting with our 95-year-old friend who stays home and hasn't had any heat nor a fireplace, said Holly Holt Wilson. We were just doing our part to make sure she had a visit with a hot coffee, a flashlight, candles ready, and plenty of blankets. We even took her a red rose for Valentine's Day. She needed encouragement living alone, and we were happy to visit through these challenging and dark days. Julie Whitney felt uplifted by all the acts of kindness she observed or personally received. Oh, my landlord brought me wood to keep my family warm. We got hit pretty hard with a tree coming through the roof, she said. Terry Cummings gave us a cook stove so we would have a warm meal. And Rex Samples gave me a Presto log to help start our fireplace. So many acts of kindness. It's a nice change from politics, coronavirus, and the negative comments on Facebook. Thank you everyone for a huge lift and a weary spirit. Susie Harvey Hansen said her place in the country was also hit hard and is a complete mess. Oh, it's going to take a long while to clean up, she said. However, our elderly neighbor lady helped us move trees out of her driveway several times with her tractor. Even though her place is as much of a disaster as ours is, she stopped what she was doing more than once to clear our lane. If it wasn't for her, we would have been stuck at home and no way of getting out. She is an angel in disguise. I don't know who this gentleman was, but as soon as we were walking through our neighborhood, he stopped and got his chainsaw out to help us take care of some trees in the road, Canby Kiwanis President Angela Baker said. He was just out checking on everybody in Canby. He's one of those helpers Mr. Rogers told us to look out for. The man was later identified as Ken Aragati, the owner of the Backstop Bar and Grill in downtown Canby. Several described impromptu gatherings that broke out in neighborhoods and apartment complexes. We have a cluster of neighbors on our property, said Amy Kincaid. Together, we went out in the four-wheel drive Saturday morning to get a store for food and water. Then we all shared a generator, heater, and a barbecue. Huh! I love our neighborhood, agreed Kaylin Nalty. It was so nice Saturday morning to go out and see everybody checking the damage and helping each other however we could. I was charging my neighbor's phone and grinding their coffee. Another was letting people borrow their hot plate and giving out extra firewood. Our block did what they needed to make sure everyone was as comfortable as they could be. As ever, many first responders went above and beyond the call of duty. Canby policeman Jim Green stopped in front of our house at 7 a.m. Saturday and whipped out a chainsaw to cut up our branches that had fallen in the street, said Luana Hill. Then he moved them out of the way of traffic. Couldn't have been more grateful. And who knew policemen had chainsaws? Jessie Smith, who said she was born in the thick of the ice storm of 78, was blown away by the kindness shown to her widowed father by his neighbors. Several of our neighbors came out first thing in the morning and went to work with chainsaws, cutting and clearing the debris. My dad would not have asked, but these guys all just showed up to help. Between my husband and the neighbors, they worked out in the cold for nearly 7 hours before even starting on their own properties. There still is good in this world after all. Businesses, too, did their part, like Cutsforth Market, which gave away their famous day-old donuts to anybody who needed a little pick-me-up after the grueling storm. Matt Zacker, owner of Canby Rental and Equipment on Northwest 1st Avenue, opened Saturday, without power, to sell generators and chainsaws and other critical tools. The historic ice storm that hit the Canby area over the weekend also left its mark on the Willamette Valley Country Club and its regionally recognized championship golf course. Though Willamette Valley's clubhouse and greens were spared, the damage to the course was extensive and will take months to clean up, according to a February 15th letter to members that was provided to the Canby Current, and at least some of the 18-hole course will be forever altered. The tree damage is significant, said the letter from WVCC Board President Pat McCowan and General Manager Allison Cruden. Our clubhouse and, more importantly, the greens were spared, but the number of trees that fell and the debris left behind will take months to clean up. A few of the holes, as you knew them, are forever different with the loss of some of the trees. The country club, like all of Canby, also lost power for several days, making communication more difficult. Cleanup began Monday with WVCC staff clearing the entrance parking lot so members can access the club. Work on the course was to begin Tuesday when the staff also planned to meet with the 18-hole course's architect, Dan Hickson. The club's fitness center was to reopen Tuesday with the driving range and practice facilities opening the following day. The clubhouse itself also planned to reopen Wednesday with in-person dining and takeout available. Members are advised to make a reservation. The golf course will be closed until at least Tuesday, February 23rd, the club said. If we can do better than that, we will, but we estimate having less than 18 holes to play for quite some time, the letter said. The club asked members to refrain from going onto the course as there is still danger of falling limbs and damaged trees that will need to be taken down. Eventually, arborists will be deployed to address these hazards.
Stay connected to what matters most this winter with unlimited high-speed internet from DirectLink. While things may look a little different this year, as we all work together to keep everyone as safe and healthy as possible, you can be confident that DirectLink's reliable network will keep your video calls, Snapchats, stories, and photos crystal clear and at your fingertips whenever you need them. In 2021, DirectLink is thankful for all of their amazing members and is proud to be your local internet, video, and voice provider for over 116 years. All right, so we have two guests joining us on the Canby Conversation today. First up is one of our favorite guests, Mayor Brian Hodson. Mayor, do you remember when we used to do these at the FOB and we got to talk about fun stuff like beer and economic development? Whatever happened to those days, man?
I think they're coming back around, Frankie.
Oh, are they?
I think the governor said that it's okay for us to get together with at least 10 people now.
Yeah,
inside an establishment, I think, and do that again. So we might be able to.
Well, maybe I just need to change when I ask you on the podcast, because it seems like it's only ever when there's some disaster. So
you do have, that generally tends to be the case. We can talk about good things. There are great things going on in our city.
All right. Well, if we have time, Mayor, we also have another returning guest, City Administrator Scott Archer. Welcome to you, sir.
Thanks, Tyler. Glad to be here.
Scott, of course, is new to the position of city administrator. He missed the wildfires and a lot of the COVID stuff. So I guess we just did the special for you as a welcome. Welcome to Canby.
It was very nice to have this event happen so that I could get my feet wet as well.
There you go. Yeah, you learn all the people really fast in that way. Well, I know you guys don't have a lot of time. We're obviously going to put this interview on our podcast, but also just put it out this afternoon as a service to the community. So why don't we start by just having you give us the latest about what's happening in Canby and information Canby people may need to know with regard to the winter storm.
I'll let you go for that, Scott.
Okay. Well, I'll start, and please fill in where you want, Mayor. So it was obviously quite an event, the winter storm we had this last weekend, and continues to be. I would say, being, again, as you just said, Tyler, fairly new here with Canby, I have to say how impressed I am with our city staff team, and our partners in the different organizations like Canby Fire and Canby Utility and others. In terms of how we respond to these types of things, it unfortunately seems to be getting, we seem to be getting used to these things, if you will, not entirely, but it seems to be coming old hat. And so I know that in the prior, in the fires especially, I was watching those from not too far down the road, and was so impressed with how the community responded. But this certainly was no exception to that. So, generally, what I can say is things with the city are in good shape. We have messes to clean up, but you know, the great news is that we got our power restored more quickly than many in the region around us, thanks to the efforts of our Canby utility folks working with PGE to get our substations relit. And then our, you know, our public works and public safety teams keeping roads clear and, you know, securing areas that, that the Canby utility folks needed to get into. So, you know, we've had power for going on over a few days here, and there's still plenty of folks that unfortunately don't have power yet. And so that's a testament to the good work of, I think, Canby Utility and others. You know, our water system, our potable water system remains safe and healthy and never stopped being operational. The city's wastewater treatment plant was operational on backup power, and there was never, while it was this, the system was strained from running on generators, there was never any public safety issue with that. You know, our public works crews out, again, securing roads and kind of securing, you know, or clearing areas for safety and all of that. So we're doing well, and the cleanup is going to continue for a while. The mayor declared a state of emergency for the city over the weekend. That proclamation is out on our city sites, and people can see that if they would like to. But essentially what that does is it prepared us for being responsive to the emergency, but it also clears the way for us to receive any potentially available funds from, you know, the state or FEMA or other federal funding sources that may become available.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then go ahead, Tyler.
I was just going to say, you know, kind of to your point, as bad as it was, I feel like there's a real sense of thankfulness that you seemed to see pretty clearly it could have been a lot worse. And we really avoided what could have been an even worse disaster than it was in terms of long lasting damage.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's a testament to our great city staff team and the folks, you know, in our public works and our police department and our partners in Canby Fire and Canby Utility. It really is a testament. Those folks were out, you know, our staff and their staff teams were out working in the middle of the storm while the storm was still very much in effect, and you know, taking their own safety measures. I mean, taking safety measures, but taking their, you know, their own safety into potential, you know, peril with their own issues at home, not having
absolutely
their own families, probably being worried about their own families back at home. But they're out doing the good work of the city. So, pretty awesome response, I think, by all of our staff teams.
Yeah, absolutely, and just braving the elements in very unpleasant conditions, if at the very least. Brian, what has been your situation, and anything that you'd like to share as far as things people need to know?
I really think Scott's covered off a lot of it. I mean, there's a, you know, my take on everything was, and I was actually out of town. I had a family emergency back in Ohio, so I was I flew out in between the storm here and the storm there, and was you know, in constant communication with Scott and staff from there.
That must have been crazy.
Yeah, it was. It was being 3 hours ahead is both good and bad. It just meant that I was texting Scott, you know, at, you know, 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning for him. And he was texting me at, you know, 11 PM and midnight on my end. So, you know, it's, you do what you got to do to make sure that everything stays running. And I think the big piece is the collaborative piece between all the agencies. We have emergency protocols in place for when things like this happen. And I would have to say that everything went without a hitch with this situation. You know, Canby Fire, Canby Police, everybody responded well. Canby Utility responded, I mean, amazingly. And we had a number of conversations with the general manager, Dan Murphy. He kept us well apprised of what was going on with our substations and the transmission lines. That was the big piece, right? So we had both transmission lines get severed in the storm, which is what knocked us out. And so the one power station substation, the Westcott, which is right there across from Fred Meyer, just happened to be the one that was the easier one to repair and get back up and running. And to be so forward thinking that our city has done in a tremendous amount of planning, I had a couple of emails questioning, our power grid and, why were we down for so long and whatnot. And when you really think about it, we don't have a power station nearby. It's through transmission lines. And so when they both get severed like that, we can't run any power. And so with getting the Westcott station back up and running, Camp Utility was able to slowly reroute the local lines in town to that substation to be able to eventually provide power to all businesses and all homes within Camby, which when you think about what's still going on, as Scott mentioned, there's pockets of West Flint and Oregon City that are still out. Aurora has no power still. Yeah. And so I think it goes to the testament of the planning that went into our power grid for the city of Camby. So, there's still outlying areas. We know many that are rural that are out. And I know Camby Utility is diligently working to get those back up and running.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of hit it, Brian, a question I was going to ask, just as far as unprecedented as this is, there's that word again. I know one of your favorite words, Brian. As this is and feels to a lot of us, you guys and the other agencies in play do plan for these types of scenarios, right? I mean, this is not something that these are definitely things that you have recognized and prepared situations for, because you recognize that they could happen. And part of it too, to your point, Scott, I think we kind of are taking some of these things in stride at this point, because we've been we have to do things by Zoom. Oh wait, we've already been doing that, or whatever. So
yeah, exactly. Well, I don't want to say that lightly, and that anything is something that we would take lightly, but it has been such an unprecedented, as you said, Tyler, there's that word, the last 11 or 12 months with all of the different issues that, I think our ability to quickly ramp up and get into emergency mode, we've had a number of good trial runs here. And so we just, everybody just jumps in and does what needs to be done. And, there's always with anything, every one of these things, whether it's the pandemic or the fires or now this weather event, every situation has its own unique challenges. So we kind of have nothing's ever exactly by a script, even though we do have emergency plans. But there's always lessons learned. And so that's something too, that we can talk about, is that, our city staff, our PD and our public works team and others working closely with the fire department and again with Canby Utility on this one. But us and the city and the fire district especially work closely together on emergency management stuff for our community. And we've already had we've had one debrief yesterday with the different parties. We'll have a more formal debrief in the next couple of weeks, which is a normal thing to do after any kind of an emergency event, where you go through the list of what went well and what are things that we can get better at. So, I think we did well, but there's always ways to look at improving and, just building on your successful emergency management.
Hmm. That's great. That's great. Well, in our last few minutes, one thing that I wanted to ask you both about, we posted a story and we kind of collected, put out on Facebook, asked people for their stories about just moments of kindness, the things that they had seen that kind of warmed their hearts. We saw so much of that during the wildfires, people helping each other, neighbors helping neighbors. Which was, so heartwarming and nice to see. And then we kind of went through a tough time as a nation with the election and lots of things going on that on social media, fights and things. And
I know I personally wondered if some of those wells were kind of dry, you know, and then another, and if another disaster happened, like sure enough it did, if there would still be that kindness there, and it's just poured out again, and it's been really, really cool to see, and just kind of gives me hope for humanity and from our community. Have you guys seen stuff like that, either just in working as you talk about city staff, the hours and things that they've had to put in, or just maybe in your own personal lives from neighbors and things like that?
Scott, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think this is where these types of things are where you really see the true sense of what a community is made of, right?
And, yeah. And so
I think the good news here, we can report that the Canby is, as we already know this, but Canby is an amazing community. It really, in the true sense of the word community, that's when people really step up and help each other out, neighbor helping neighbor. And so, yeah, through the process here, we were seeing and hearing from, I've heard of different stories of people bringing food to our crews that were working, be that, you know, at the police and fire operation sites, our public works teams, people were offering to bring meals to them, you know, working in the middle of the night. We started very shortly after all the trees and the limbs were down, started getting texts and calls and inquiries from people that was, you know, there were already volunteer brigades getting set up where people with equipment were going around trying to help remove people's debris and, hey, where can we take that stuff? And can the city give us a drop-off site? So we quickly put together two drop-off sites, which is something I did want to mention. That's good for the community to be aware of if you're not already. There are two drop sites in town for Canby residents where people are welcome to take any of this debris at no charge. And those are at the Maple Street Park in the large parking lot, and then at the Ackerman School site, kind of near the swim center and adult center. And I went by today by the Maple site, and it is amazing how much there was a line of vehicles dropping debris off. And
at Ackerman as well, it's a mountain. Yeah,
amazing. And our crews are out basically, so that's like the collection site, and then our crews are kind of dismantling that and hauling that away as fast as they can. But wow, it's pretty amazing. So those are obviously being well used, but the point was that people were offering to go and, you know, take care of other people's properties and help remove debris and trees. And so, yeah, the response by the community, of course, has been amazing.
Yeah.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months. Sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life. Mm-hmm.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, just to add to that, you know, being out of town and not being able to be there for my family. I mean, it was my,
that's tough, my, Brian.
Yeah, it was hard to do. And so I had actually taken my oldest son with me. And so, you know, we had our neighbors behind us, come over and help, you know, limb a tree for us that had split and, you know, was dangerously close to pulling gutters off the back of our house and, taking down a fence, cause I wasn't there. I mean, and everything to the stories on, Facebook of just electricians running around, hooking up generators to people's homes so that they can at least get some power to turn on heat and things like that. So, again, our public works team, I drove on my leaving for work this morning. I think the debris pile between last night when I drove into town and this morning when I left town had quadrupled, there at Ackerman.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
And there's still a ton more, to clean up and deal with. And so, I think just how, once again, Camby citizens and residents rise to the occasion that is in front of them, and pull together to show what Camby Strong means.
Yeah. I thought that the Ackerman Center would be a great spot for a citywide bonfire just to celebrate the end of this, but the school district didn't like that idea for some reason. I don't know what their problem is. Brian, one last question. I know that you tend to stay in touch, and maybe you haven't had a chance to yet, just coming back from a trip, but with our local businesses, and they kind of got the double whammy with the weekend for local restaurants and stuff that they were going to be able to reopen, and then this hits and they lose power. Have you had a chance to hear from any of our local restaurants or business owners and how they're faring? Obviously the power's back on. I think most, if not all, restaurants have reopened. We've been to Wayward and Backstop, and they have been pretty busy. So just curious if you had a chance to check in on them at all.
I did talk to a couple of businesses while I was out of town that reached out, just wondering what the power situation was going to be and how, if they needed to make, accommodations for, you know, refrigerated items and freezer items and things like that. Yeah, it's definitely a double whammy to have all of a sudden, get the green light to, you know, at least 25% open,
and they'd ordered food, prep food, yeah.
And then get clobbered with no power. So I'm hopeful that this week here, as we've thawed out and whatnot, that the businesses, the restaurants especially, will see a big lift of people wanting to go from being in cabin fever to wanting to get out and take advantage of the restaurants being back open.
Yeah. And I think people have just been longing for some hot food. You know, I'm sure everyone's seen the lines out into the street from McDonald's and stuff like that. People are sick of eating oatmeal or whatever food out of cans, like we've all had to do. Just one more quick story about Ken Arigotti at the Backstop. He was one of those guys that was out with a chainsaw just going down the street and the first day after the storm, helping people dig out. One of the stories that we collected on our Facebook page was somebody saying that, I don't know who this guy was, but he came to my house, and then somebody was like, oh, that was Ken with the Backstop. So really cool. Well, thank you guys both. I know Camby Fire is still advising people to be careful. If you are running generators, keep them away from your house, keep doors and windows closed around them, because there have been people that have gotten sick and unfortunately died with carbon monoxide poisoning. And if you or on oxygen machines or anything like that that needs battery power and you're out of power, call 911. I know is their advice. You guys, anything else to add? Thank you so much for joining us.
Tyler, just a couple of quick other public information reminders for people to be aware of. The Camby Fire District has, because of what's going on in the cleanup with debris, they have opened up backyard burning. So people can burn debris piles. However, they have to call the burning line at the fire district office before doing so, just to make sure that it's good to go. So wanted to let people know that. Want to also, in terms of safety, remind people. So we're doing we have a lot of cleanup in our city parks with trees that are in different states of disrepair and, you know, coming down and all that. So if there's any areas that are cordoned off, or even if it just looks like it's not particularly safe, we're asking people to steer clear of those areas in our city parks while we get the rest of that cleaned up. And then the last thing I would mention is for the folks that are still without power and don't have potable water beyond the Canby city limits, again, I think we're very incredibly fortunate in Canby to have systems that are working right now with power and drinking water and our sewer system working. But there are communities right outside the city limits and right nearby. Mayor Hodson mentioned a few of those a little bit ago. That don't even have potable water systems right now, whether that's because their wells aren't operational because of power or their drinking water systems. And the fire district coordinated with Clackamas County Fairgrounds, and there is a water filling station at the fairgrounds on 4th Avenue, kind of near the main administrative building, just outside the gates. And I drove by there today and saw a number of people lined up waiting to fill buckets and water barrels and stuff. So that water is potable and it's free if people want to go by the fairgrounds if you are in need of drinking water.
That's great, Scott. Thanks for remembering all that. The burn line, by the way, guys, is 503-266-1195. So just call and make sure the updated information is still allowing in your area for that. Any last words, Brian?
No, I just continue to take care of each other and check on your neighbors still. Especially those that and friends and family that might be out on the outskirts of town, still without power, just to check in and make sure that they have what they need.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you guys both doing this, taking time out. I know you've got so many demands on your time right now, your jobs being crazy what they are and trying to tend to your own families and your own situation. So really appreciate this and just your entire service to the community through this crisis. Thank you, guys. Stay tuned to Facebook. City of Canby has been putting out updates. Mayor Brian Hodson on his page, Canby Fire District, and of course, the Canby Current. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Frankie.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. I miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.